Well, hi there. Here we are. This is session number 43. And we're thinking in terms of when evil comes. And we're looking at the scripture found in Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, covered the most important of relationships. And as you know, in the past few weeks, we've been going through that book of Ephesians, building up to when he got into chapter 6, in the latter part of chapter 6, talking about spiritual warfare. And now, Paul, having explained godly behavior, then at the end of his letter, he did that. He explained spiritual warfare. Now, let us go to the Old Testament and the book of Judges in chapter 6 and see how spiritual warfare shows up in the natural. It is through the understanding of the Old Testament books. Now, hear me here. It is through the understanding of the Old Testament books that we can gain great insight into God's ways, man's ways, and Satan's ways. You know, there are many people who say, well, you know, the Old Testament, we don't have to pay much attention to that. Some people I've actually met that only carry around the New Testament. They don't even carry around the Old Testament with them because they don't see any reason to delve into that. That is so sad because all Scripture is given to us for a purpose. And we need to know about all Scripture. Now, we start out here with evil in the eyes of the Lord. See, now Israel, we are told, did evil in the eyes of the Lord again. The consequences of their evil ways was the Lord allowed them to come under the harassment of a brawling and contentious people, Midian. Now that's what Midian means, is brawling and contentious. Evil is whatever God says it is, and righteousness is whatever God says is righteous. This is a matter which every person needs to understand if they are to ever come to the knowledge of truth. God is sovereign. One of the most difficult things for people to do is take themselves off the throne of their life and allow God to occupy His rightful place of being on the throne of their life. It's very difficult for people. And until people come to an understanding of that, they're never really going to come to a relationship with God. Because they'll always be trying to get God to do everything their way. Because they're in charge, they think. And in point of fact, we know that's not the fact. There are things that God's given us to be in charge of, and one of them is whether or not we'll accept Him. That's the freedom that He gave us, because He loves us that much. So now then, Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord again. Once more, they've abandoned the things of the Lord and done evil. And what happens? 7 unprotected years. Israel spent 7 long years not enjoying the hand of God blessing the outcome because of the outcome of their endeavors. Evil power and self-defense is what they got involved with. Then, as they struggled to have a normal, quote-unquote, life under so great an oppression, the Israelites took drastic action. They left or were run out of their own homes and prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds, these scriptures tell us. Just think of that. They were run out, and they had to go hide out in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Now take great note here. Take great note here. You know what they did? They prepared for themselves covering. You see, they decided how to deal with this. And they dealt with it by basically running from it and hiding from it. Here they were. They were They had stepped out of God's plan. They had stepped out of doing things God's ways. They had done evil. And they did, if you look at it, the same thing that Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. They tried to provide their own coverings. Man in a fallen world often does not look at his maker, but to himself for a covering. That is always a mistake. Here again, the natural is a reflection of the spiritual. The creation, in pride, looks not to the Creator. The problem of the Israelites was not solved by their own efforts. Can you hear me on this? Your problems will not be solved by your own efforts alone. Because God has ways of working. God has ways of pulling you through. God has ways of showing you and giving you wisdom, giving you understanding of situations. Oh yes, you may get through a situation, but it may take you twice as long, three times as long, four times as long. In the case of the Israelites here, it took them 7 years before they finally decided they would really talk to God about it. Because they knew, you see, they knew what to do. Didn't work out well for them. And we know that the scriptures tell us that it is not by might or by power, but by the Lord's Spirit, that these matters are solved. This is why it is so important for you to know Scripture, to know God's ways, to understand man's ways, and to know Satan's ways, so that in your choices you can remain on the path that you say you've chosen. If you've chosen to be with God and do things God's way, it's a good idea to get to know God. It's a good idea to read His book, His manual that He gave us. But the Israelites weren't at that point yet. And they were losing their harvests. Even the work of the Israelites was to come to naught as the brawling contentious ones, the misery wicked workmen, and that's the Amalekites. The word Amalekites means misery wicked workmen. That's the word it comes from. And the other eastern peoples. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me that those other eastern peoples were really not unlike the New Agers of today. And those people invaded their land. And they lost the fruit of their labor in that process. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever encountered brawling, contentious people? Have you ever had to work with brawling, contentious people? Have you ever found that in your family you had brawling, contentious people? Have you ever had a brawling, contentious neighbor? Have you ever encountered people like this? And then have you just encountered people who were just misery and wicked workmen? They were always doing some kind of evil for their own benefit. And they would look for any way they could to take advantage of you, to take what you had, to use it for themselves, or just to destroy what you had simply because they didn't like that you had it and they didn't. Sometimes this even happens in personal relationships. But have you ever run into those kind of people? And then have you run into the kind of people like the New Agers who worship the creation but not the Creator? They want to protect the creation, but they don't care about people. As a matter of fact, those people think that the major problem with the world is that the people ought to be out of it, so that nature can have its way. Do you understand that that is in direct opposition to what God said in Genesis? He told man to take care of the earth. Well, of course, then they would jump in and say, well, but look how we've messed it up. Well, that's really true in some places. Why? Because, again, we've not walked in God's ways. We haven't understood God's ways. And as a result, problems arise. I need to tell you here that evil spares nothing. Absolutely nothing. Evil will take you, if you even just encourage it a little bit, evil will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. and cost you more than you ever wanted to spend, and leave you with no remedy. That's what evil will do in your life. All Israel had was trampled. Everything they had was trampled all the way to a harsh, fierce, and greedy, consuming land. By greedy, consuming land, I want you to think of like a desert valley where the temperature gets really hot and consumes any life that walks into it because you can't make it across this barren section of land. And what happens? We even hear today of people trying to get into this country and they don't have enough water and they don't have enough nourishment and they just die out there in the wilderness. That's a greedy, consuming land. And so the scriptures tell us that this is what happened. And this greedy, consuming land was really, in a way, invading their land. In other words, they had to go all the way, it impoverished them all the way to Gaza. Now, Gaza means a harsh, fierce, and greedy, consuming land. That's what Gaza means. And so their land, to them, was being made like Gaza. These people came in from there. Boy, you just don't have to think too far into what's going on today, do you, to draw a parallel here and what people would like to do. What happens to Israel today from Gaza? They send rockets in. They send suicide bombers in. They send all these people in. Doing what? Oppressing Israel? Sounds rather current, doesn't it? Remember, evil spares nothing. You cannot get involved with evil and think you will be spared something. Evil is so consuming. That's why the scripture says there's pleasure in sin for a moment, but the end, there's no pleasure in that. Why? Because evil needs to deceive. Because if you could see the end of evil, you would never get involved in it. You know, I had a friend one time who said to me he was the head of a large financial institution, and he had been doing that for over 40 years. And he said to me, he says, you know, I never wrote a bad loan. In all my time in banking, I've never written a bad loan. I've got to tell you, I was impressed. I mean, think about that. 40-some years, and he had never written a bad loan. And then in his dry wit, he looked at me and got a grin on his face, and he said, they all went sour later. You see, you wouldn't loan the money if you thought you were never going to get it back. You see? But something, it all looked good at the time the loan was made. But between then and the time of getting it back, something went bad. You know, I'm sure that there are people who might say that about their marriage. They didn't make a bad marriage, it just sort of went sour later. Why? Because they drifted apart, evil got involved, whatever. These things happen in life. I don't think you probably get up in the morning saying, how many bad decisions can I make today? How can I really mess my life up? You probably don't get up thinking like that. Because when evil comes, evil is a deceiver. And it deceives in order to hook. And once it's hooked, it spares nothing. Once that hook is set, it will spare nothing. And that's the only thing. The only thing you can do is you can go to God about it. The other thing that evil does when it comes involved, and notice something, evil often involves appetites. It really does. Food's an appetite. Sex is an appetite. There are other appetites that people have. And it involves appetites, because when you involve an appetite, you can more easily ensnare someone. I mean, when you go fishing, don't you use some sort of bait? Unless you're using a net, you're using bait. And what happens? The fish goes after the bait. It's not like you're spearing the fish. You've got the hook out there and the fish comes after it. Now, let's say you're fishing with a net. Well, the enemy does that too. The scripture here tells us that when the brawling contentious ones and the others came, it was as a plague of overwhelming locusts. In other words, it was like a net. It overwhelmed them. It completely covered them up. They came up there with their donkeys and their cattle and everything they had, and they trampled all the crops of the Israelites. Notice it doesn't say they stole them and took them back to eat the crops. They just devastated them. You see? They just devastated them. The enemy will come in to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. One of the things the enemy comes in to do is to steal the fruits of your labor. And the fruits of your labor would be these, like these crops here. They planted these crops. They tended these crops. And then they came in and destroyed them. The enemy will come in and things will look like they're going so well. And then just before you're able to reap your harvest, that's when they bring the hammer down on you. How else could you be better discouraged? Would you have planted anything if you thought, well, now I'm going to plant this, and I'm going to tend this, and I'm going to put everything I've got into this so that in just a month or two, when it's ready to be harvested, it can be destroyed. Now, who would plant something with that in mind? What sane person would invest that kind of time and effort? But see, the enemy comes in with overwhelming force. When these brawling, contentious ones and the others that come with them, the misery, wicked workmen and all these people come in, they just trample your life. This is a part of the spiritual battle. I want you to see the spiritual side, and I want you to see what happens on the natural side. You see, what we learned was that again, Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the brawling, contentious ones. Now, he didn't let them necessarily just come in and kill them all. He just allowed them to have a little harassment. You see? So, the oppression became so great, as they looked to themselves, Israel was forced to humble themselves and pray to God. It is this course of action which needed to be done first. What does the word say to us? It says, seek ye first the kingdom and that righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. What did they do? They did not seek it first. And what happened? All of their labor, everything they did, just got crushed. How many times I've sat with people who have come to me sobbing at something that's gone sour in their life, and still unwilling to accept any responsibility for what happened. You know, somebody done me wrong. You know? It's one of those somebody done somebody wrong songs. You know, if they hadn't have done this, if they hadn't have done this, if that person hadn't have said this, if this had only been... But you rarely hear them say, you know, I really messed up. I will tell you, there is no substitute for humility before the throne of God. You want to win spiritual battles? You don't want those spiritual... Remember, the enemy brings a spiritual battle into the natural. But remember something. The Lord also brings a spiritual battle into the natural. You see, I run into people all the time that think it's just realistic to expect evil to come into their life. But they think it's pie in the sky and Pollyanna to expect good to come into their life. That's deception. If you're thinking that way, you have already been deceived by the enemy. You have already bought the lies of the enemy. Because when God blesses you, he puts no sorrow with it, the scripture tells us. So here's Israel. The oppression became so great as they looked to themselves. As they looked to themselves, Israel was forced then to humble themselves and pray to God. It is this course of action which they had to do, needed to do, so desperately needed to do first, saving 7 years of separation from God's blessing and favor. Now, they weren't necessarily separated from God totally, but they were separated from His blessing and favor. Now, they had some favor because they survived it. You see? And how many times I've heard people say, it's God's fault when something bad happens in their life. As a matter of fact, there are more people, you understand there are more people in the world who believe in God than believe in the devil? What a deception right there. The devil can make such, the enemy can bring about such catastrophes in the lives of people because they choose not to even, they choose to ignore him. He wants to be ignored. He just wants to manipulate. And so he gets in there and he just messes things up. But the first course of action needs to be humbling of a person's self before God. Relying first on God will always bring God's blessing. Relying first on God will always bring God's blessing. Let me say that again. Relying first on God will always bring God's blessing. God has not said to you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then He's going to let the enemy thump you. No. He said all these other things that we search for. I'll tell you, my friends, we've got to bring the spiritual into the natural. We spend so much time trying to put food on our tables and roofs over our heads, doing the same thing they were doing here, right? Because we're on this battlefield and the enemy wants to come in and crush us, and we focus all of this time on the things. And God is saying, I keep telling you, if you'll just focus on me and my righteousness, God says, I'll take care of all those things for you. True wealth only comes from God. And true wealth is as much in the natural as it is in the spiritual. Some people would say, well, true wealth is your relationship to God. I'm not saying that's not true, but I'm saying that the God that I understand in the scriptures says He will bless me here and now. And we have so many people with testimonies that when they've stepped into line with what God wants, they've had these very good things happen in their lives. Things that surprise them. Out of the blue, they show up. That's God. That's God doing His thing, because His thing is doing good. He's a good God. And He will always do good to you. To those who love Him and care for Him and serve Him, He will do good things. I don't know if you really realize it or not, but one of the reasons, you know, I said at the beginning of this that it was so important to understand the Old Testament so you could understand God's ways, man's ways, and the enemy's ways. You see, if you think about it, the Old Testament comes before man really had grace. And then the New Testament comes after grace appears. And the age of grace is initiated by Christ. Isn't that the same as your life? Isn't that the same as your life? Your life is one way in the old life and another way in the new life. Now, am I saying you come to Christ and that you're never going to have a crisis and you're never going to have a problem and you're never going to have a challenge? No. And I read in the scriptures, that's why the Old Testament there is so important as well. But hey, I've had people say to me, boy, you know, I got injured one time and people were saying to me, boy, you know, you must really be in sin or you must not be right with the Lord and this sort of thing. And I looked at them and I said, you know, those first century Christians must have been a bunch of weird wimps when it came to their spiritual life. Because, man, they got killed and they got tortured and they got fed to lions and they got tar and stuff put on them, and they were used as flaming night lights along the streets of Rome. Now, was that because these people were wimps? No. God's sovereign and God is doing a thing. But they didn't have the scriptures that we have. We have the scripture now that they did not have. they believed, they were believers, but they also did not know how to do things that we know now. Because the word says that in the latter days, you're going to find these things will happen. In the last days, he talks about prophesying and dreaming dreams and things coming true. And Jesus said, greater things than these will you do. But it's got to do with humility and going first to God. Not running off to hide in some cave someplace, in some cleft somewhere. Not going off to crawl under a rock, but to stand on the rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and let that rock open the Word to you so that you have all the tools you need, all the tools you need to live the life that God meant for you to live, because He put us starting out in a garden with all of our needs met. It was man that got himself thrust out of the garden. That was not something that God really wanted to do. So what I'm saying again is, relying first on God will always bring God's blessing. And that's the teaching for this session.